Welcome to Navigating Mindfulness. My name is Cheryl Sutherland, and I'm so excited to be here, obviously, with my one and only co-host, the one and only Lisa McHale, the baddest of them all. If you're watching this video, you can see the massive, like, bad, like, entrepreneurial lip she's got on. She's, guess what? I'm taking numbers and taking names and taking checks. Taking the money. Anyway, so we're here to talk about mindfulness, mental health, mental wellness, all of these different components, and of course, integrating personal growth as you're building your business. And of course, there's so many different areas that you can play with in regard to that, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, or of course, physical. And today we are getting into more of the entrepreneurial debacle. I don't know. It feels like a gumbo. Like there's just so many parts and pieces when it comes to being a successful entrepreneur and a lot of opportunities for growth. So today, one of the things that we've decided is an amazing component to talk about is about paying yourself first and paying yourself in the context of being an entrepreneur, paying yourself for your labor, I think is a huge part that we don't really take into account, and then making sure that we're building it into different things. So when I first started my business, I was very much in that growth phase of putting a lot of time, putting a lot of money, putting a lot of effort into it and not actually pulling anything out for myself because I was self-funded. And so the same money that was coming out of my savings account was to pay for me and my food was also paying for products and you know, clientele, and not clientele, but like coaching and all that sort of stuff. So being able to switch that mindset has been a habit that has been a little hard to break, and it's kind of new and it's kind of uncomfortable. However, it's so, so important, and it switches you from the mindset of being a solopreneur or an entrepreneur to a business owner. And over the last couple of weeks, I've talked multiple times on different forums about the shift that occurs when you switch from being an entrepreneur, a side hustler, a solopreneur to a business owner. Lisa, do you have any magic to throw at us in regards to this?
I do. So thanks for joining us. I really love this topic. It fits in line. I think Cheryl and I both were reviewing a book called Profit First, where it actually talks about where business or owners or entrepreneurs will set aside money from their earnings to pay themselves. And it really goes against the grain of like the leader eats last kind of thing. So there's definitely two schools of thought in that. And I respect both. And there have been times where I have done one and done the other. So I think for me, it's just like finding what works for you. I actually ended up not continuing with the book Profit First just because of the extra work that it included. And because I am in Canada, and well, you're in Canada too, but for Canadians, I think what it was referring to in the book is not available to us in credit unions where you can open multiple bank accounts for like no money. Like there's always going to be fees associated, which then creates more work. And I think you could also do the same thing in a very simple form by running a spreadsheet and actually knowing how much of that money in your bank account belongs to you and how much of it is allocated to taxes. Like that's what QuickBooks is for or any other accounting software. So I'm happy that you have actually started to build in other expenses into the cost of goods that you're selling, because you are a goods-based business as well as service-based, versus I'm not in that space at all. I'm straight service. So I don't build in anything other than whatever it is that I need to build in. So I think we're also approaching it from two very different perspectives, which is awesome for our audiences. So I would like to know how many are like product-based and how you arrive at your pricing and that kind of stuff and how you pay yourself. And then for the service-based people is like, how do you arrive at your pricing? And then do you pay yourself first or what's your methodology? So why don't you tell us a little bit about how we got to this topic, Ms. Sutherland?
So basically I have done multiple Kickstarter campaigns before, and I've been primarily product-based for the majority of the 5 years that I've had my business. And I want to say only in the last like 2 to 3 years, I started doing more service-based things. And this is very important. I'm going to come back to that as we go along. However, within doing the product-based businesses, Lisa, honestly, you're throwing me off. So if you're watching the video, she's actually highlighting one of my water bottle labels and just like being the best evangelist ever, which is very important for building your business. So like, side note, however, when it comes to building my product-based business, I was like, okay, what are the things that I build into my line item, right? And of course, that is essentially, what are the costs for the products, to order the products, if I'm having somebody support me with like design work or manufacturing work, or like, you know, any sort of contractors there, the cost for shipping it to me, the cost for shipping it out, customs, all that sort of stuff, like even when it comes down to, so how do I say this? When I first started, that's all I really had incorporated in there. I did not have a line item for how much I was going to pay myself for actually like doing fulfillment, even though if somebody else was doing it, then I would be paying them. I did not add in the cost for packaging and all that sort of stuff, like inserts, any of that, because I felt like at the time, like, I feel like there was this level of, the only word I could have is like oogliness. Like, it was just like, no, like I have to keep things small. I have to keep things tight, and I'm going to sacrifice myself in a couple of different ways, i.e. not paying myself and absorbing the cost for some of this other stuff to happen. So with my first Kickstarter, I ended up not using a fulfillment center, and it was amazing. It was successful. I'm so grateful for everybody that supported me. However, I had to spend like 3 days in my house picking and packing and shipping. And it was literally the littlest sweatshop is what I like to call it. My roommate at the time, like her dog would come out and be like, what is this? And I say that because there's just so much extra labor and extra work that I did not take care of myself. I did not pay myself. And it was so grateful to be able to get that out. However, it was years even before I started adding myself into the equation. And I only really started doing that when I started doing more service-based business, because it is legit you saying, this is my area of expertise. This is my zone of genius. If you want access to that, it's X amount per dollar. And I feel like coming to the opportunity to be able to change, like exchange time for money, but like on a bigger scale, you're not making $20 an hour or $30 an hour. And that's certainly where I started with some things, like some client work that I was doing here and there. But then it also increased to where my current rate is, which is like between $150 to $120 an hour. And again, depending on what country people are asking for my services from, it'll be charged in either USD or Canadian. And then so there's been a multitude of courses that we've been doing. There's one that we just did called Get Ready for Sales. It was an amazing workshop to really help people get the essentials of starting a product-based business. And some of the things that came in is like making sure that you're adding in your total cost of goods and like total cost of goods sold, i.e. the cost of like the shipping materials, the cost of your labor, or if you're using a fulfillment center. And I realized, I'm like, I'm not here practicing what I preach. I keep attempting to shrink and make line items smaller so that I can feel better about it. But then also, I'm also sacrificing myself in doing so. So I actually am in the process of not only doing my own Kickstarter campaign, which is going to happen later on in the year, to bring out the first ever Please Notes planner, which I'm really excited about. However, I'm also supporting other people by creating this as a course. So you can buy this, you have all the spreadsheets, you can plug in the numbers and play with them. And one of the things that I added as a line item was how much profit I wanted to integrate into the Kickstarter campaign. Normally what it is that like, I'm like, as long as these main costs are covered, then I'm good, and then I'll make profit after. However, even in the first part of profit first, it's really talking about the mindset switch of saying like, no, I'm putting me first, and therefore allowing you to attract more money, attract more abundance, attract more goodness to come in. And even if you're not following the specific things that are in the profit first, like the five different things and bank accounts and stuff like that, really taking into account that just mindset shift of like, no, I have to pay myself first because I'm important.
Yeah, like without you, there is no brand, right? And so it's not uncommon for me to have a conversation as it relates to consulting and strategizing that, like, if you don't actually, like, again, it's like the whole oxygen mask, right? If you and a child are traveling, make sure you put yours on. Otherwise, you know, like, you might not even get it on the child, kind of thing. Yeah. So that's a very, very big point. I think where most people struggle, like you said, is they take it on, i.e. fulfillment, and they're not paying someone just to keep costs down. But if it was somebody else, they know they would have to pay. But the missing link is they're not paying anyone, including mm-hmm. themselves. Mm-hmm. So what shifted for you? Was it your own work? Was it like, what finally clicked to say, I am worthy of getting paid?
When I feel like I've been doing this so long and I'm like, I'd like to have all of my pills handled. Like, the only way that I'm getting ahead of things or any way that I'm having fun money or anything like that is when I'm choosing to put myself first and pay myself first. And we look at, like, again, like, not trying to fall into the comparison trap, but you're looking at all these other people that are in the same space as you, and they're able to go on trips, or they're able to get really great gifts for their friends. And that's what my version of success is. However, if I'm not living it now, if I've been doing this for 5 years and I'm not living this now, then what is it that I have the opportunity to change or shift or upgrade?
Right.
So let's play, let's try something different. And then that looks like paying myself first. And so far it's been pretty dope.
Yeah. Well, let's dig into profit first, even though I ended up I ended up returning the book, to be honest. And I think I mentioned that, but if it was like, have you read, how far are you in it? Because there's a part where it says, like, if you pay yourself first, you're forced to operate. You're forced to think of ways to operate at a leaner level.
Yeah, I've read that part.
Okay. And so how do you feel about that? Like, cause you're doing the exact opposite. You're paying yourself first and you're delegating more. So what had to change for you to, like, increase that number for you to be able to do both?
I feel like it's all mindset work, because realistically, like, it can all happen. It just needs to, how do I say, if you're doing it by percentages, it could all happen. It's just that the amount that you have banked up for certain amounts or for certain things, it's just going to be different depending on, like, what each month looks like. And then I think that a big portion of it is the amount of time that you're not spending doing things that you shouldn't be doing or the things that you don't have to do actually adds on so much more room for you to make the money that you actually want and then bring in the money that you actually want so that you can, in fact, build your business. This is the difference between working in your business and working on your business, right? And so that is, again, one of those habits of shifting from being a solopreneur to a business owner. Like, you can't be a business owner and be like, and then other people are, like, your employees are being paid more than you. Like, that just doesn't make sense. And so, like, creating systems to allow yourself to have that level of growth is super important. I also think when I first started my company, I always thought that money was the answer for everything. If I just put enough money into something, this problem is going to solve itself. And it's clearly incorrect. And so I felt very in alignment with what the author said in Profit First in regards to that. However, I also know that some of my biggest successes in the business have been when I've been operating the opposite way, where I'm actually, like, on a very lean amount of money that I'm playing with or that I'm working with. And I'm operating from the space of abundance, but playing with less money. So I feel like there's actually a huge amount of, like, that mindset component that actually plays into not only the people you attract, the contracts you attract, the money that you're able to spend and what you're spending it on. And it's coming from that space of abundance versus scarcity, which is a big component. Before we go into the next question, though, there was something from your first one that I wanted to touch on. So there was an event that I was speaking at FreshBooks in Toronto, which was, like, a couple of years ago. And somebody had asked, as a freelancer, what is the best way to price yourself? And I always love this because you have to work with where you're at. So if you, like, are writing out a number and you're like, you feel resentful, then it's way too low, right? Because you have to look at the whole scope of work of what you're doing. If you're pricing out a number and then you feel guilty or you feel awkward, then you know it's way too high. And so that sweet spot in the middle is where you want to price yourself as as a like hourly, or if you're doing it project-based, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the great thing about that is that as you continue to attract people at that level, which you will, even if you're like, oh no, it's too high. No, that's what you should be getting paid. So you'll attract those people, and then you would need to increase your price with, you know, level of inflation or whatever you feel. So some people will increase their price every 3 months, every 6 months, every year. However, it's super important to continue to increase those prices, because then you're not going to be able to fund the other things that you want to build in your business, because you've been playing too small.
We, or I have seen and do sometimes employ like a cost of living allowance, so COLA, so cost of living allowance to ongoing contracts. So on an annual basis, it'll go up to meet inflation, and any other things too. So anywhere like 5%, 7%, whatever that might look like. So as you go into service, is that when you say 3 months, is it because they're not ongoing beyond a year contracts? Or like when you say they're 3 months, is it just like you're just looking at your rate book and that's what it is?
I think it's less about the existing contracts. Like if you have an existing contract for like 6 months or 3 months, of course you're going to hold to that price. However, it's important that if you're working with like a low wealth consciousness, that you continue to ask yourself to step outside of your box and continue to upgrade, i.e. increasing the price of your product and or service. Because when you do, you're also going to feel different about yourself. Like, what are you deserving of? What are you worth? And even though, again, it could be a product or service that's separate outside of yourself, it is a very clear reflection of who you are and what you believe about yourself. There's people that are in, let's say, graphic design that are charging, you know, $25 an hour, $10 an hour, or like $250 an hour. The only difference between these people is like, what do you believe that you deserve? And then you're okay with asking for it. Of course, there is something to do in regards to like your actual service, like what you're actually doing, and of course your quality of work, et cetera, et cetera. However, the only way that you're going to attract the clientele that you really want to attract is by charging the prices that you really want to charge. I've seen this so many times where people will say like, you'll have a $500 client and you'll have like a $5,000 client, but the $500 client is the one that's like picking at you and prodding at you. Like, are you doing this? Or what does this look like? And they tend to be more trouble than a $5,000 client, even though it could be a very similar service, because they trust that with the amount of money that they're giving you, that there's a level of value, that there's a level of quality that's going to happen. And therefore, like, they're much more hands off in the whole process.
In your opinion, or because you said you've heard this, like, did you find the same thing? Because I know you do a lot of stuff, like you have a lot of courses, you do a lot of speaking engagements. I think you've really built a great wheelhouse of services to offer people that will also support your goods business, right? Like, so that's our consumables rather. Let's talk a little bit about like how you started doing that. Was that always something that you wanted to do? And then how do you branch that out? Like, we're talking about costing things. Like, so how do you cost one over the other? It sounds like there's like an actual cost that you have to meet in order to pay for the stuff that you're selling, and then the selling engine, and then the shipping engine, and then you, right? So, and then with the service-based business, is it just all you, or are there other costs that we're not aware of in that business for yourself?
Yeah. So I don't add in like the cost of like my Zoom or stuff like I have, what is that thing called? I have like a platform that I use to like host my digital stuff, like all of my workshops and courses and stuff like that. It's very low, so I don't, you know, add that in. However, I feel like in regards to the service based, that is really coming down to like, what am I worth per hour? And for that, it's just like, what do I feel like my level of expertise is at now? And for me to say that I'm like $150 an hour, like last year, I would have been like, who do you think you are? However, the evidence is starting to speak for itself, and it does speak for itself. The fact that I have like a plethora of clients that like, when we first start talking about working together, they're like, oh, that's it. That was a very clear indicator that like I was undercharging. And then in regards to the product-based business, I'm only again now building things in because I feel like I've started to become an adult business. Like I have GST, I have to pay people legit to do like taxes and bookkeeping. So me just again, continuing to pour everything in the business, it's not sustainable. And so at the same time, I'm paying, you know, X amount for a bookkeeper, X amount for a tax person. Then I also need to pay myself what I'm worthy of and then start pulling that out of the account, pulling that out of everything else so that I make sure that I'm taken care of. Because like you said, if I'm not taken care of, then how am I going to take care of everything else? And for some people, it could just be as simple as like 10% of sales right off the top, transfer it out and just be done with it and feel good about it. Right. And it could be something like, depending on your business, you might feel more comfortable doing like 20%, 40%, whatever. But the most important thing is that you start somewhere. And again, you double check with yourself, you double check with your numbers, you have a council of people around you if you do, to see like, okay, in 3 months, can I take out more like of a percentage? In 6 months, can I take out more? And then start easing that up. And then it's going to ask you to step up in your business and sell more products or sell more goods or buy a bigger shipment so you can experience like the economies of scale and like paying less for shipping and all that sort of stuff. So what is this next level of your business? Where is it taking you? Where are you building yourself? And how do you bill yourself? Like you have to pay for yourself because you're worthy of those things. We're so used to being able to, and I feel like I'm going on a little diatribe, but it's fine. We're so used to, if I'm working a 9-to-5, I negotiate my rate and that's it. I don't ever have to think about money again. When it comes to building your business, it's like every single day. And I'm going to speak for me, every single day, I'm like, oh, did I make a sale? Okay. How much money? Like, where is this going? Like, what do I have to pay? Like, all these loans and stuff, but I never account for myself. So now I'm accounting for myself first, then I know that I can take care of all these other things and still do the things that I really want to do. Like I want to go back home. I hope my mom's not listening to this, but I want to go back home to Calgary for my mom's birthday and stuff. Like these are things that I don't want to be putting on my credit card anymore. And now as a result of doing these practices, I know that I won't have to.
Congratulations on so very many things that you just like unloaded there and like the golden nugget. So first, congratulations on hearing that like, oh, that's it. Like a lot of people sometimes step over that and they miss the opportunity. I also really love that you said like for yourself, because there are people who are like profitable right from jump because they built all of this in. I think you're speaking from the perspective of like somebody who maybe didn't have their finance, like you kind of just went on a air quotes, a love project and didn't necessarily have the business structure. I know people who would never do that. They, you know, they have their chart of accounts right from the very, very, very beginning. So this is really, I think, geared to your shares anyway, for somebody who's coming out of that. And congratulations on being able to like pay for things or not have to use a credit card. But if you have a points card, you know what I'm going to say, use it and then pay it off right after you get that bill. Just a lot of like real tangible practices that you're talking about. I think it's product-based. Like if you're service-based and you're developing a team, then you got to think about, you know, your payroll and the equipment that you're using. And unlike you, I think every business expense is allocated somewhere, right? So it's like, where are you putting your Zoom? Where are you putting your content management system expenses, like your cell phone, any new things you buy, like, I don't know, new headphones because you need them or a new microphone. Or so those are all kind of things that you have really got to factor in. And I think the best thing that we could really give to the audience, and maybe you can speak to this, is like, make sure you have a bookkeeper and an accountant to help you guide you grow your business from a monetary perspective, along with the mindset that you're going to do it. What do you think about that?
Listen, I am not the one to speak on that because I was like, again, like bootstrapped and scrappy. Like, I'm like, oh, numbers. I'll look at that afterwards. Cause I knew that right now, especially when I first started, that I was going to be pouring a lot of money into things. And then also like, is this an expense I could deal with? My mindset around money wasn't one where I'm like, yeah, I can work with a bookkeeper. Like, I'm like, I don't even know what a bookkeeper does. Right. Like, or even like paying for an accountant. I'm like, how am I paying for an accountant when I have no money coming in yet? Like in the first 6 months. However, I think it was really, really important. And anybody that's starting a brand new business, I would say, starting off with your financials and getting a clear idea. I mean, like there's so many people that start off just doing it out of their regular personal account, which is horrific. I at least had the audacity to open up a business banking account and then get business credit cards and like a business savings account and stuff like that. That has never been a problem for me. However, creating like these different buckets and like getting consultation from other people was something that I didn't do. I actually did have, and now that I remember, Mark Phillips, who's amazing. He's in Orange County. He actually signed up to be my financial person to support me as I was building this business. But like, I had signed up with him so early and I was not making any money that I was never like, I never really felt like I had anything of value to take to him. And so we just didn't have these conversations of like where I should be putting money and da da da. Like he was like more like a financial planner. However, I didn't utilize him. And so anybody that is starting a business, I would say at least have like an initial consultation with somebody saying like, okay, like how do I do this? Or like, what are the things that I should be putting money aside for? Or how do I start a business with profit first and like making sure that the line items are done? And then, you know, as time goes along, you're going to see those percentages go from like negative to positive and then be able to sit back and be proud of yourself. So I'm cleaning up a lot of my books stuff now. And I'm really feeling good about it because I have people that I trust that I always attract the best people. And if I don't, it's because like there was something going on that I needed to work on. And it's like, oh, I see that. And so now it's like, okay, I can do this. And I feel really good about it. Yeah. So yeah.
You can do hard things. I can do hard things. We can all do hard things.
I legit have that on a sticky note in my bathroom. So like, that's really scary that you just said that.
Like, I've never been to her bathroom, folks.
In my bathroom.
No, I think it's really important to give ourselves the credit. And, you know, I love when we have these episodes and almost all of them always speak to, it's the internal work that you have to do in order to really tap into the hell, right? So one is the intention, like, what do you really want? So for you, it was like, I'm just going to launch the business. I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to leave the money alone. Okay, well, then that's what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, money becomes a priority. So ditto for me. I can just sort of like volunteer a lot of my time to good causes and things that I believe in. And it always just kind of magically works out. And I think a lot of it was just like, I'm worthy. I can do hard things. I can ask when, you know, something is technically like if it's within my right to do so, or, you know, you can be compassionate. However, when you have a 12-year-old looking at you going like, hey, XYZ, and even though I am a single mom and whatever, I think just a lot of that work has to come internally for that mental awareness so that you can unblock. And this is Cheryl's area, so I'm just going to say it out loud and let her take it on. But the mental block for money to allow, like if you clear that and you're clear on it, like you clear whatever blocks you have and then you're open to receiving and calling in her magical affirmation queen way, then spiritually, physically, and emotionally, it kind of all comes together if you're willing to do the work in those areas also to pull it forward. So Cheryl, what type of results have you had since you've done that? Because now we know the tactic way, build in all of your costs, including yourself, right? Whether you choose to pay yourself first or you choose to pay yourself last. Once you've got all that down, how do you magically call, like she's wearing her manifest magic shirt there, or hoodie. What are some of the ways that you do that? Where do you go from scarcity to abundance?
That was a lot you just said, and there's something that I want to come back to. So like, yeah, I feel like it's a process. You know, you have to start with one place and then slowly move up, and there's going to be a series of opportunities that's going to come to you that's going to allow you to actually say, do I want to break this habit? Do I want to practice a new habit, do I want to operate outside of my box, right? So for me, it was interesting because with starting a business with low money mindset or a poor money mindset, which I can clearly like reflect on today, it really came from like, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I have to do all this other stuff and like everything else will come. And so when it came to like even asking for my money from people, it was weird. When it came to, you know, negotiating rates, it was weird. Like I was actually in my email and I was like looking at the prices that I was paying for products before with this one manufacturer. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, that was expensive. It was like literally three times the amount that I'm paying currently. And it's the same product. And it really came down to, well, I attracted those people because I wasn't in that space yet. But then I also feel like it's a learning experience. You don't know. And then when you find out that, you know what, there is something different or that you can attract something different, it only came about because I was able to like work on my money mindset. Lisa, one thing that you spoke about that I really want to touch base on is I was not born an entrepreneur. I've never had entrepreneurs in my family. The most that ever happened was my dad had like multiple rental properties. Like he owned a set of flats in the UK, sold those, and then came to Canada. I've never experienced any of my family as being entrepreneurs. My dad never had anything like that when we were here. And then of course, like having rental properties, you know, like that's something that's really fun. And then like, that's a simple business, right? But starting your own business, I've never from scratch, never done that. While as you have come from a background of entrepreneurial people, right? Like you've experienced that at a deeper level. So like, I feel like there's a lot of these little things that you may or may not have had as like an obstacle. It's just like, oh no, it just makes sense to pay myself first or just makes sense to bake this into the price. That would have never occurred to me. And only through trial and error, I really got into that. What do you think about that?
So I'm Filipino. I'm first generation resident. My parents were immigrants that arrived. And so my father was born to a widowed mother, and she like hustled, like just did whatever she needed to do in order to get her kids fed. And then one of them became a nurse and an accountant. Like she just did what she needed to do to get them through school. And then they migrated to Canada, California kind of thing, right? So I think it's in my DNA to do that survival thing. And that I had to work on from survival to thrive. And that has really been, I'm going to say in the last, maybe even like just couple of years, you know what I mean? Maybe even since COVID, because, you know, we can't move around. So my focus is like, okay, what have I been doing that I want to change, right? My father, I think I've shared this in previous episodes, had a very stable, you know, golden handcuff government job. No offense to anybody who's doing that. I totally respect that too. However, he always tried to do the side hustles, but always like was missing the mark a little bit, right? Or like there were other things that were stopping him. So that was also like in me. My mother, I think, dabbled in like selling a few things here and there, right? And then all of my other family that I know of in the Philippines anyway, they were always like really trying to set up stuff. Like I know a couple of them still have like sari-sari stores, which are like, you know, at the end of the street, they have like a little shop where they just sell a bunch of things, like anything and everything, kind of like a convenience store, all the way up to like, I've got a cousin who's in California, who's like a chiropractor, and she runs her own like practice. So yeah, I would say there's definitely something to be said about DNA and like life experience and what you hear, like your parents say or other people say. And then there's just like this outwardly desire, like inwardly outwardly desire to just be who you are. And for you, you may say you were never an entrepreneur. However, clearly you are, because here you are today. Right. So, I mean, I knew 2 weeks into the government job, like this is a bunch of red tape that I just, this is not for me. This is not for me. I'm sorry, Dad, but I'm out of here. Right. Like, I don't want to send people into like this eternal black hole and like never going to get serviced. So definitely something to be said about that. I like you though, will say it does involve a lot of being clear about what you want and then just willing to do the work, whatever that might look like. And a lot of it is internal, because I have to battle my own like scarcity things. I'm not doing this just to survive. I actually want to make a difference in the world, right? I want to give people somewhere really, really cool to like spend their days and like learn and grow and like discover cool things about themselves. And what I'm learning this today more than anything is like how to set boundaries in a very powerful, graceful way to be like, yeah, no, that's not for me. Thanks. Like, that's a lot of practice. And also to remain like the biggest cheerleader for your awesome supporters and your teammates. Like, there's just so much learning in it. So I hope that answers your question. And then
yeah, for sure. And I feel like there is a lot. And also one thing that's popping up for me is like, I always knew this business was going to be successful. The way that it was going to look, I thought I had a way it was going to look, and the universe is like, no, bitch, it's just going to look a little bit different. And that's totally fine now. Before, I was all like, why are you doing this to me? However, one thing that I did notice is like, I never really had an external onus. I never had like a drive, like I have to be successful for, or I need to be successful because. And one of the things that I noticed is that you, of course, have an amazing daughter, right? So it's like if I'm not willing to do this for me, and a lot of entrepreneurs aren't, they're not willing to charge for themselves. They don't see their inherent value. They're like, no, I need to do this for my child. I need to do this for my mom. I need to do this for my brother, or like whomever is relying on you. Like, I never really had that. And I feel like that if I had that external pressure, then that would have made the transition to paying for myself or charging more, or even not putting as much money into my business when it wasn't necessary. It would have changed my thought processes around it. What do you feel about that?
My relationship with money definitely changed as my daughter's consciousness to saving it became more real, right? So, you know, I think for me, it's always been about accessibility, right? Like, we have some basic needs in life. You need, you know, water, food, shelter, warmth. If you're in a cold place, if you're in a warm place, guess what? Warmth isn't one of the things that you need to think about, right? Which is like one of the challenges I always had with like people who live in warm countries who think like, we don't have to work. Like, we actually have to work harder here because you actually do need to make sure that you have somewhere to live in the winter. Albeit we have a great social system and they're always going to take care of you also. Right. So, it's such a weird topic for me. I'm struggling a little bit because yes, she is my muse and she has given me like a different reflection to look at how I manage money and the accessibility of credit and the accessibility of like saving money. Right. And you know, ownership of like home ownership for me, it was like, do I have somewhere where I'm comfortable living? Hard stop. You know what I mean? Does it match a line item on my budget? Is it like the best value for the money? All these kind of other things as opposed to owning something so that there's a sense of security. But my brain goes so far to say like, if the government needed your space where your house was, you're getting booted. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so what is the reality in that illusion of like, you actually own it? You don't. Like, at the end of the day, if the government declared they wanted that for some other reason, they're going to pay you whatever they're going to pay you, and they're going to move you or they're going to tell you to go. So the making of the money is now, what is it going to be able to do for others? So definitely, if that's what you're getting to, for some people like myself, it's going to be a different motivator. And yes, it is external, because I know, like, if I knocked on your door and I said, I don't have anywhere to sleep, I don't have anywhere to take a shower, and I need somewhere warm to be, I'm good. Like, I actually don't have that need. You know what I mean? But the desire to show capacity, the desire to actually own God-given talents and gifts to be able to contribute to those who don't have the same opportunities. Like, that's actually what really came up for me when we're talking about diversity, inclusion, and equality. I know I sit in a different place than most people. So there is an inherent responsibility now that has been reflected to me to step in, to ask, to claim, and then to redistribute. That is what has changed.
You know what is so interesting that came up for me? When you were talking about that, what really popped up was Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now, if you are familiar with it, then, you know, listen in. If you're not, then that's totally cool. So Abraham Maslow came out with this, and there's just this different level of like things. So as we conquer like one level, then we're up to the next thing that we need or that we're looking to get more of. Of course, we've got at the bottom physiological needs. Then it's safety needs, love and belonging, esteem, and self-actualization. Now, this is really interesting because I feel like for myself, when I started my business, I was like at the point where my physiological needs were taken care of and my safety needs were taken care of. Maybe some of the love and belonging, but what was not taken care of was my esteem. And I feel like esteem plays so much in what you charge and what you choose to take on for yourself. And also, like, I actually used to work for this person. And she would, like, it was kind of insidious the way that her brain worked, because I know that she was deserving of so much more and she could get so much more. However, she would set herself up where she would send a quote for something and then it would be undercharged. And then also the time frame attached to it would be something that just wasn't serving for her or the rest of the people of the company. And instead of setting it up where she could like under promise and over deliver, it ended up kind of being the other way, because she would just burn herself out having to like work on projects for like ridiculous amounts of time. And then of course she would pay all of her staff because she cared about her staff and made sure they're taken care of. But then what was left for her is literally crumbs, right? So I think this is a huge part in regards to building your business. And if you are building your business, taking a look at where are you? And what can you improve on? Do I need to work on my esteem? Do I need to work on like my self-respect? And I think that's a huge portion in regards to charging for your goods and services, charging for your time. Do I need to take a look at my freedom? Am I setting myself up for success so that I could have the freedom that I desire? If not, then what needs to change? Do I need to have like my price go up for my products and services? Do I need to have my costs go down? And I think that's one of the big things about Profit First, is it really puts you in a space where you can't bullshit yourself anymore. It's like, is this working or is this not working? It's not working, cool. We're not gonna go out and get another loan. We're not gonna go out and put ourselves in more debt. We're gonna fix this problem so that it can be more successful and therefore allow the funds that we desire, the funds that we deserve, the funds that we are choosing to come in to actually come in. Oh, baby, you're muted.
We're definitely going to put that link in, like, to that, so that people can really look at it, like, if they've never heard of it. I think we may have touched on that in one of the things that we may have studied.
Probably,
however,
yeah.
The self-actualization part is probably where it rings the most for me right now, is like, I still am that, like, I really care. I care so much that I don't care. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a transaction. Yes. For me, it's like adding value. Mm-hmm. Am I doing what I said I was going to do? Am I giving it my all? Am I, you know, and that's what I'm going to trust. Because right now where I sit, as of this very moment, if I demonstrate to her how to do that, she's going to live the best life ever.
Right? Yeah.
Like, if I demonstrate that all these things I even have post-it notes from Cheryl. So like, they say things like, I can't show them to you because I've written stuff on them. But like, I have unlimited creativity. That's not associated to money. However, if I tap into that in my self-actualized self, it actually, I can create anything I desire. Everything that I touch does turn to gold. Like, even if it looks like coal right now, it's going to turn into a diamond. You know what I mean? Like, and owning that power in a very humble way. Like, I really struggle with this because I do want the health and wealth. And yet I know that comes with a great deal of responsibility that if I don't have straight processes for, I might go offside a little bit. And that's like where I don't want to go. Right. And mm-hmm. So, well, we've all squandered, let's be honest. right? And now it's like, how is it going to be different, right? And so there's this new concept that was introduced to me. I'm going to totally sideline for a minute called FIRE. Freedom investment, retire early, or financial, I don't know what it is, but it's for people who are like 30 and under or whatever. So if they save half of their income, they'll be able to retire by the time they're 40. Right? Like, well, I'm way out of that bracket. And so there's another article that says, well, you actually are not in a bad position because you charge more. You know what I mean? So you can still save half your income and be like, you're beating the compound because your rate and experience allows you to charge way more. Mm-hmm. So I think perspective has a lot to do with like where you're going to end up, right? And how you approach certain things. And you're always going to find information to back up whatever it is that your brain is thinking. You touched on something that I want to kick back at you because I think there is a time and a place where a business does need to tap into credit and going into debt in order to have growth. So, and for me, it varies and it's always up to the business owner when to do that. When do you think, or when have you done in the past, and when will you now going forward? Like what changed in that whole, like, cause you said it, oh, I can pay for it now. I don't have to put it on my credit card. And I'm like, I'd still put it on my credit card if I was getting points.
Yeah. I honestly love putting things on my credit card for the points. Yeah. And I still put things on my credit card. However, there was a point in time when I was building my business where I had to put things on credit cards or I had to, you know, take a loan for things.
Yes.
And not that they're bad. Like there's like multi-million dollar companies or like huge companies that have a lot of debt or that are actually cash negative. However, you would know, cause you know, it's a thing. And then also it's just temporary. Like sometimes you need to go into good debt in order to build your business. However, if it's coming from the space of, I need this, like, how do I say, coming from that scarcity mindset of like, if I don't do this, something bad is going to happen versus like, this is an amazing opportunity to help me explore different things, then that's where it gets kind of tricky. So I noticed for myself, especially with the mindset that I had before, was that I just need more money. I just need more money. I just need more money in order to do these things. So taking from my savings, taking from assets that I had, like my RSPs got cashed out, all these different things. A lot of the inheritance that my dad left for me went into the business and I knew it was going to work out. However, it was like, where I was in regards to my mindset was I just need more money. So I took out loans and I put it in there and like, it was never about the money. The money was not there to fix things. And if I did not have that level of access to funds, I feel like my business would have been better because it would have made me have to deal with the psychological and mindset components that were not allowing my business to grow at the level it needed to. Now, when I hit a space where it's just all like, what other money are you going to pour into? Where else are you going to pull money from? There's nowhere else. That's when I had to be like, okay, is this working? What is working? What is not working? And made me put on that critical hat. That's one of the things that I always wanted was like, I first started my business with a co-owner and then like, it just didn't work out because it was my idea in the first place. We weren't working at the same speed. We weren't on the same level. And then, so I was like, I don't think this is going to work. Like, let's just part. And he was cool with that. But one of the things that I wish I always had was to have a co-owner because having somebody else that's able to be there and again, bounce those ideas off of, and just like somebody else to say like, hey, this isn't working. We need to adjust something is super important. Now, of course, you don't want to just bring in anybody to advise or co-owner or anything like that. It's literally a marriage. So having people that are around you that are mentors or that are on the same path to growth or like further ahead is so important because they can tell you, okay, these are your numbers. This is not working. What are you going to do to change? And you have to like make those changes. You have to face those things and then allow yourself to grow in that way so that you can actually do the work that you're here to do with the business that you have.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Like you're actually speaking to what Profit First says in terms of like paying yourself first and then figuring out how you're going to grow with whatever's left. A couple of things popped up for me. One of my very good friends who like has has sold actually a couple of businesses, growing another one that is like doing such good work in the world. Was sharing like the undercover billionaire where they have to grow a business from like $100 in a remote space, like, and just grow it. The other thing too is that you're right. Partnerships are technically a marriage, and you always talk about being equally yoked, and you know, we come from learnings of like having really good values, like, again, not necessarily having the same love languages, but at least a good balance of value systems that are similar. So for me, I think all of these things lead towards having a strong business, making sure you're pricing up for your stuff. And then these are really the decisions that you would have or conversations you would have with yourself or with a partner, like everything that we talked about today, how you're going to price, how you're going to make decisions, who you're going to partner with, what kind of relationships are you going to get into? And how are you going to manage your time? How are you going to prioritize this? What kind of resources are you going to use in order to go forward? So I think just before we part, definitely always check in with a professional. Like, we're just giving you our experiences. And they're valuable to us because the lessons that we learned were divinely meant for us. And we want to share and reduce your learning curve, right? Cheryl, you're 5 years in, right? And congratulations, because, you know, not all businesses make it that far, and you're pivoting at a rapid, rapid, rapid rate. I think that's it for me. You got anything else that you want to chat about on this one?
No, I think what really feels good for me on this is just, I was on a panel the other day, and one of the people, Cassie Day, put out something that I think was super important. And from day one, treat your business like it's $1 million business. If that is on your business plan, if that is your growth pattern, or like what you desire in the future, even if it's you just want to have like $100,000 business, treat it like it is $1 million business, i.e. getting those processes and things in place from jump street, you know, like making sure that you're registered for taxes, if you need to register for taxes, making sure that, you know, you're able to grow with economy of scale, thinking about all the systems that you want to have in place. And then, you know, getting that like non-sexy infrastructure, again, talking about like bookkeepers or accountants or, you know, accounting systems, like you don't have to go all in like super heavy, but like get those things in place. It's like, even for myself, when I first started, I'm all like, I don't know what I'm going to do with a Facebook pixel, but I know I need one. I don't know what I'm going to do with like a Google tracking code, but I know I need one. And just install it on the website, let it calculate the data and like get the things. And then when I need somebody to actually like that, or somebody needs to look at these numbers or like look at like all these different things, the information is going to be aggregated for me. So just doing these little things now and making sure that you're putting these things in place is what's going to allow your business to grow, to be successful, to thrive, and then not have to clean up so much mess and work backwards on it.
I like, in all things, it's like prevention is better than cure. And then if you have to go through your cure, make sure you learn the lesson. Right? Like, hey, and if this is the give back from our contribution, I'm good with it.
Yeah, I agree. You know
what I mean? Like that's really where the spirit of this came from, was to give back and to, you know, bring highlights to things like your goods. And yeah, I think it's been really, really, really great.
I think I just wanted to do it because it's fun. Right? Like, I mean, if this podcast ends up being something big, awesome. And of course, I like, one of my big things and that I discovered is my purpose in life is to love and be loving. And so if this is a way that people are loved by, you know, absorbing this information, yeah. Awesome. And then also like, it really, there's something to say about having these conversations and creating the space and saying things out loud, because there's so much healing that happens here. And so I know that my business has grown, that I've grown as a person, that I'm not stagnating because of doing this amazing podcast with you and having these conversations and these delicious guests and stuff like that. It's just, it's another way to play, and play is so important for the growth of yourself and for your business.
It is. It is always fun. I have to say, there's always a shift that happens by the time we wrap. And I, again, wishing that everybody really does get from from our transformation, even over like the short period of time that we're together on a every so often basis. So that's a wrap for me, Cheryl.
Yay. So with that, thank you for coming to Navigating Mindfulness as we build our businesses and just like rock out with like all the things out. My name is Cheryl Sutherland. I'm hashtag amazing. I am joined by my lovely co-host, Lisa McHale, who is hashtag awesome. So if you need anybody to fight crime, you've got amazing. but we will see you next week for another delicious session. And if there's anything that you would like us to cover, anything that you have concerns about, please feel free to reach out, either send us an email, slide into our DMs on our IG. Well, I'm going to say me on my IG. I don't know how dedicated. Lisa's outsourced her IG. So I don't know. I don't know if she's like in it like that, but like, we're just here to do good things and have great things happen for us. And so with that, I hope you allow yourself to do good things and have great things happen for you. Thank you. And we'll see you soon. Bye.